But I want you to take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 40. And I feel like this is what God would have us to talk about tonight. This morning we were up in Kingman, and God put on my heart a message for the next generation, because they had junior church, and I saw all the little children walking out. They were precious little children. And it dawned on me, will there be a church like this one for the next generation? I preached about that this morning. But tonight, when we pulled into the parking lot, first thing I saw was a big, beautiful new bus. First thing I saw. Man, it takes up about half the parking lot. Isn't that great? Man, that is one whopper of a bus. And I look, what did it say, 80 passenger or so? Well, you can do a lot of good to 82 passengers. You do a lot of good stuff with a bus like that, you know? And then 30-some young people come into church this morning. Man, that's awesome. That is awesome. And God put on my heart tonight when I saw that bus just to share a few thoughts with you tonight and encourage you in the things of the Lord and in the matter that we're saved. And I like being around your pastor. I like to be around his family because, again, they're joyful people. They're spiritually up, and they love the Lord and love the Word of God. And I mean, they are consumed with ministry. I like to be around people like that. I like to be around people who are consumed with life and ministry and love for God's people. I just like to be around people like that. It rubs off on me and keeps me going. And so tonight, David gave a testimony in Psalm 40, King David. And he says this in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Heavenly Father, would you bless the preaching of God's word tonight? I pray that as we look at truth, that we would be encouraged because of what Jesus Christ has done in our lives. And I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight, if any have come and they're not 100% sure that heaven is their eternal destination, their eternal home, that tonight they would make that sure, that they would let someone know that they need Jesus, because He's the way, the truth, the life. And no man can come unto the Father but by Jesus. And we thank You that You're the way. You're the way for salvation. You're the way for everything in our lives. I pray that tonight that the Bible would be precious to us and that it would move our hearts for others as we remind ourselves about our salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up, I lived in Lynchburg, Virginia. We drove through there a couple of times earlier this year. And back in the late 50s, a young man came to Lynchburg, Virginia and started a church with about 30 folks. And they started in a little school, Mountain View Elementary School, up on Campbell Avenue. And God just seemed to bless that church in a special way. The pastor knocked on 500 doors a week, and he and his wife worked real hard. She played the piano beautifully. And his name was Jerry Falwell. Some of you may remember the name. And the church began to grow and go. And then in the 60s, I became acquainted, the early 60s, I became acquainted with that church and with that preacher. My mother and dad had a lot of problems. My mother got with the wrong crowd at work and just got involved in a lot of vice and a lot of sin. And eventually, just on Thanksgiving night, 1957, walked out of the house in a pair of shorts and a pair of flip-flops and began hitchhiking, and she left. And my daddy was a good man. Daddy had been in World War II. He'd been captured by the enemy, and he'd been tortured to get information out of him. It affected his central nervous system, and Daddy would have convulsions from time to time. And it was a very sad thing. Daddy did the best he could to raise Toby and Lee Weaver, just two old ragamuffin, hellbound, crazy boys. Crazy. I mean, mixed up and crazy and mad at the world because Mama left and Daddy. We never had a car. Never owned a car. Daddy would walk or thumb to work, and my brother and I we lived in filth, to be honest with you, and it was a bad thing. But Daddy did the best he could. He did the very best he could, and he just did the best he could. And bless his memory. He loved the Lord, and he had a few things that he had to work on, but he loved the Lord and he loved my brother and me. And I want to say before I go any farther that my mama got all that right later in life, and she loves the Lord today and she's saved, and that's a blessing. That's a great blessing, and I love her. But growing up, it was tough. And kids in this area need that big old yellow bus out there. And those of you who are serving on that bus, I'm not much, and I know it. But God's been good to me. And God has allowed me to do some phenomenal things. When you think about where God brought me from to this very day, and it all started on a bus. But that preacher, we were a mess. My brother and I were a mess. We scared teachers half to death. We wouldn't go to school, threatened teachers, just a mess. But we could play ball. We could play ball pretty good. And so they accepted us at school because we played ball. My brother and I both enjoyed playing ball. And we went over to Vista Acres there in Lynchburg, and one afternoon we were playing ball, and this young preacher drove out on the field, up on the pitcher's mound, in his black Volkswagen Beetle. Drove up on the mound and got out. And he said, "Nobody here can hit my fastball." Well, I was a snotty-nosed kid. I said, "I can hit your fastball." And so I didn't know he'd had a tryout for the St. Louis Cardinals. I didn't know that. Now, I mean, he wound up, he threw that thing, and that thing went, and I said, "Good night." I'm swinging at that thing, man, like swatting at flies. And I couldn't hit that fastball. And he said, "Let me hit one." I said, "Good, I'm going to get even." Man, I reared back. I gave it my best one. Man, he cranked on that thing. It looked like an aspirin going out into space. I ain't kidding you, man. Just a, we never even found that baseball. And that was the only baseball we had. You know, boy, I was mad. That was the only ball we had. And he laughed and laughed, and he thought everything was funny. He always thought everything was funny. He enjoyed life. Had a zest for the Christian life. And he said, "Well," he said, "I lost the baseball." He said, "But anybody that will come to church with me Sunday morning, I'll give you a brand new baseball." And I said, "My brother and I will come." And I was stuttering. I said, And he came by our house and picked us up in his car, in his other car. Had a Buick Electra. My brother and I got in that car, and he flipped on the air conditioner. My brother said, "What's that?" I said, "It's an air conditioner." And my brother said, "In a car? In a car?" I said, "In a car." Mrs. Falwell was a beautiful lady. They were a young couple, and my brother kept punching me. She said, "She's pretty, ain't she? She's pretty, ain't she?" I said, "You're doggone right, man, she's pretty." And I'm telling you, that whole thing started, and that big-name preacher cared about little people like Toby and Leroy Weaver and Clarence Weaver, my dad. Bailed my dad out many times, helped my dad. And you have a preacher that has the same kind of heart right here at this church. Else you wouldn't have that bus sitting out yonder. Now, I want you to think about when you got saved. God's been so good to me. I got saved. I lived for 3 years on an island there at Thomas Road Baptist Church for boys, a place where boys, I mean, they made me listen to classical music. I'd rather you take me out and beat my head in than have to listen to classical music. But they'd make me listen for 2 hours every day and read the Bible. No TV, no radio. I would say no cell phones, but back then we barely had a phone, you know. And it was different. I mean, he stuck my nose in it. I mean, I had to study 2 hours a night. You're going to graduate from high school. I said, "You want to bet? There's no way I can graduate from high school." "Yeah, you are. Get in there." Took me to piano, maybe take voice lessons. Another thing worse than death is taking piano and voice lessons. I wanted to go out and hit the ball, play football, and knock somebody's head off or something, you know. But boy, they worked with me and helped me and stuck with me and believed in me. And believed in me. And believed in me. And there are young people all over this area that if somebody just cared, and I know you care, but I want you to get excited about what God is doing here. Get excited about it. Have a passion for this. It's special. We've been in 90 churches, and the girls would stand up here, and if they could give their testimonies, they would say, "This is different. This church is different. It's different. I love coming here. I'm moving my membership tonight." That's it, man. I just love coming here. My wife and I just look forward to it. And so let's go back right from the very beginning, and let's just talk about what happened to David. A lot of wonderful things happened to David. I mean, anointed king of Israel as a young man, and became king over Israel, and a man after God's own heart. And so many wonderful things have happened to me as a result of bus ministry and Sunday school teachers caring, and a youth pastor caring, and a preacher who cared, and a lot of church members who cared. So old Sonny Pate, Sam Pate, worked in Lynchburg, and he walked by me one day, and he looked at me, and he said, "You need new shoes, don't you?" And I said, "Well, I don't know. These are okay." And he bought me a pair of shoes. I've never forgotten it. He bought me a pair of shoes. I never forget how they felt when I put my feet in there. I said, "These are new shoes. I have on new shoes. They're new." And they're boys and girls who are going to, maybe you can't sing, maybe you can't preach, maybe you can't play the guitar so beautifully like the brother did, and you can't do a lot of things, but maybe you could buy a kid a pair of shoes. He'll never forget it. He'll never forget it because he's never felt what it feels like to have a pair of new shoes on that fit. They fit. Are you with me so far? Okay. This kind of church that can get this and take the ball and run with it. And God gave me a wonderful wife. I didn't deserve her. I mean, I met her on a blind date. I went to Tennessee Temple College and finally graduated from high school. Preacher, I'm just sharing my heart a little bit tonight. In the sixth grade, I never went. Didn't even go. I was afraid to go. They beat me up. Didn't even go to school. When you don't go to school, you fail. So I had to repeat the sixth grade. In the seventh grade, I threatened to kill my teacher because he humiliated me because of my stuttering problem, and I threatened to kill him. Well, they kick you out of school when you threaten to kill the teacher. You're gone. So, man, by the time I was in the ninth grade, I was able to date my teachers. You know, I mean, I was, 48 years old in the eighth grade, I mean, it was amazing, amazing. And I was scared and nervous, but I could play. I could play ball. And that was my out. That was my thing. I could play some ball. And God's been so good to me. And the youth pastor, they got me through high school. They finally got me through high school. I think I was 30 years old or something. They finally got done with high school. And now you need to go to Bible college. I said, I can't pass. English, a verb, and a noun. Who gives a flip? I don't care. And Beethoven and Beowulf. I want to go hunt a wolf. I don't need to go to college. But I went there, and lo and behold, they were singing, and I enjoyed singing. And they had a lot of girls there. Man, was that a bonus or not? I mean, a lot of girls at Bible college. And I said, I think God wants me here. It was a no-brainer. And so we went off to Bible college. And boy, I had to work hard. Katie, I had to work two jobs. Had to work three jobs sometimes. Had to rob a few banks. But you have to do what you have to do. And I'm just kidding. And had to work hard. It was tough. It's just tough. But I recall working for Sears, selling shoes, and this old boy called me and said, "Hey, Weaver, let's double date tonight." I said, "I can't, Greg." Greg was already married. I said, "I can't, Greg. I don't have a date." He said, "I'll fix you up." I said, "No, you won't either, man. I'm not doing that blind date thing." He said, "No." He said, "Just trust me." I'd had one blind date before that time, and the girl was 6'4". And we had a mall date. And she kept wanting to hold my hand, so we walked around the mall like this. I'm just kidding. That was a lie. But this guy said, "Yeah, I'll fix you up." He said, I said, "Who is she?" He said, "Rita Ford." And I said, "Come on, Greg." He said, "Come on, man, you're not doing anything tonight." And I said, "Okay, I'll do it." And man, I ran up to the dorm and knocked on the door, and Rita came to the door, and she opened the door, and she had on a yellow dress with little green flowers and those blue eyes, and I looked up at her, and I'd never seen her before, and I said, "Hi, I'm Toby, I'm here for Rita." And she said, "I'm Rita." And I said, "Bring it on, baby." And God's been good to me. And then we got married, and we found out that we, for some reasons, we couldn't have children. And God gave us two children through adoption. God's been good to us. God's been good to me. Now, God's been good to you. God's been good to you. Let's look at this very quickly. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry and brought me up out of a horrible pit." Number one, if we're saved tonight, God brought us up. He brought us up. Up. He brought us up. We were headed for down. And we got saved, and God brought us up. That's good, isn't it? He brought me up. From what? Out of a horrible pit. Out of a horrible pit. Out of the miry clay. He brought me up, and then He cleaned me up. He brought me up out of a miry clay, out of a horrible pit. I mean, if I were out in the world today lost, I look at lost people, and my heart just breaks for them. I don't know how to do it. They're in the miry clay. They're in the pit. But you and I aren't. God brought us up. And He brought us up out of the pit, out of the miry clay. He brought me up. Then He cleaned me up. He cleaned me up. Oh, I see something else here. He set my feet upon a rock. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He brought me up. He cleaned me up. He sets me up. When I get down, when I get hurt, when I get offended, when I sin, when I mess up, when I blow it, He picks me up. He sets me up. That's why 1 John 1:9 is so important. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us. There it is, that cleansing. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's a good God, isn't He? He brought me up. He cleaned me up. He sets me up and established my goings. He keeps me up. Well, once you're saved, you're saved. Eternal security. Once you're saved, you're saved. He keeps you up. He keeps you up. He brought us up. He cleaned us up. He sets us up. He keeps us up. Gets better. Have put a new song in my mouth. Sometimes He tunes me up. He tunes me up. Sometimes I hear singers and bless the heart. Haven't heard any around here. But I hear people, I know they're not going to hit the note. They're going to hit it under the pitch, you know, or something. And I say to myself, man, they need to be tuned up. And every once in a while, not in this church, but every once in a while, the piano and the organ are not in tune with each other. You have a very strange sound. The guitar, the piano, and the organ are not in tune with each other. It's a strange sound. It's a very strange sound. And you're trying to find the note while you're singing. It's a lot of fun. But He tunes me up. Every once in a while, even with my wife, maybe we have a disagreement, or with our children, or maybe with another believer. We just need to stop the madness, don't we? We just need to stop the madness and allow the supreme musician to tune us up, to tune us up, to tweak us a bit. And He'll do it if we're willing. And we have to go back. We have to go back to the very fact that we're saved. He brought us up. He cleaned us up. He helps us up. He keeps us up. Establish my goings. If you're a member of this church, hang in there. I mean, stick with it. You're in a good place, buddy. You're it's happening. It's on here. Stay with it. Stick with it. That's my church. That's my preacher. That's my parking place. That's where I sit. If you sit in my seat, I'm going to break your neck. Okay? You got to be a good Baptist about it now. Okay? He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust the Lord. He brought us up. He cleaned us up. He set us up. He keeps us up. He tunes us up. And someday, dear church, He's going to take us up. He's going to take us up. And I want to say tonight, in closing, that you don't want to leave this place not knowing for sure that you're in this category of Psalm 40. People need the Lord. Look, please. If God can take a stuttering, stammering failure, deadbeat kid, mean as a snake, mad at everything, aggravated, angry. If He can take and save a kid like that, He can save anybody. Save anybody. Save my brother. Save my brother. My brother loves the Lord. I wish you knew Him. I wish I could be half the Christian that my brother is. Half. I wish I could be half the Christian he is. It's amazing what God wants to do in your life and my life. What can you do to add spiritual value to this church? That's your call. Spiritual value. The first thing you can do if you're not saved, born again, haven't trusted Jesus Christ, take care of that tonight. Take care of it. Just take care of it. It's God's simple plan of salvation. Take care of it. There are people here that will open the Bible and be very kind and show you how you can know beyond any shadow of a doubt you're on your way to heaven. And then those of us who are believers, let's look in the mirror and say, hot diggity dog, I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm not hellbound. I have some tough days. Sometimes I make mistakes. Sometimes I say stuff I shouldn't have said. Sometimes I stumble. Sometimes I mess up. But I can always come back to the Lord. Not for salvation, but for cleansing, for forgiveness, for restoration. Because, boy, these girls just bless my heart every night. Most of the songs that they sing are about the faithfulness of God. And His mercies are new every morning. His mercies. He's a merciful God. And He's not Santa Claus. And I've got a few scars because I earned them in life. I got some scars. Everybody in this room has got scars. Everybody. And so heaven's going to be sort of like this. Good singing, preaching, more good singing, a taco salad, marriage supper of the Lamb, amen. Taco salad is going to be good. But let me appeal to you tonight in closing. Do you know for sure if you died right now, boom, you'd go to heaven? Or if He did rapture us today, as Pastor Chappell's book on prophecy will teach you about, if we were taken right now, would you be left behind? You don't want to be left behind. You don't want to be left behind. And so tonight I urge you, if you've come and you're just not 100% sure, take care of it tonight. And then if you're a believer, but maybe what's that old bus all about? Now you know. It's about one, then another one, and then another one, and then another one. And you may not reap the benefits of the old yellow bus out there, and you get to paint, it's going to be a pretty bus. It's already pretty to me, but it's going to be prettier. You may not reap the benefits of that in this decade, but you may next decade. There may be a the next pastor of this church may ride that bus next Sunday. He just may. The next pastor's wife of this church may ride that bus next Sunday. You never, never know. And so every one of those kids is precious. They're precious. Yeah, but they're precious. Yeah, they smell funny. My brother and I used to smell so funny. We get on a bus. And I'd sit by the prettiest girl and I'd go, hi. And man, breath and didn't have toothpaste to brush my teeth and smell funny. And she'd go, yuck. And I'd say, yuck yourself. I mean, it was awful. Just awful. And I still don't take a bath but once a month. And if you get around me, you'll see here in a minute, okay? I'm just teasing. And so I appeal to God's people tonight. Are you a soul winner? There are tracks here. There are tracks. Well, but Toby, I'm nervous. Let me show you how you do it when you're nervous. You take the track like this, and you go out, and you do it like this. And I get nervous, too, and I've learned that people take it because they feel sorry for me, you know. Bless his heart. Yeah. God can use you. God can use you. Make yourself usable tonight.